Hi, welcome to Glad Tidings. Today, we have a special guest bringing the word. Let's welcome Pastor Irene Ong. We pray that you are blessed by the word today.
Happy Mother's Day to all our mothers. You are so beautiful. Amen. Yes. You are so wonderfully and beautifully, huh? And so preciously made in the image of God. Amen. And sometimes you may feel that you are not appreciated, but remember, God always appreciates you. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, as I was preparing the message, you know, I even a few days ago, I was praying. So I just asked the Lord, Lord, I invite you and I long for you to come with me and let your presence fill your church. And praise be to God. He answers my prayer. He is here. Amen. I just pray for the presence of God, and the presence of God is here. We can't miss it, isn't it? Yeah. You know, how do you feel, each of you? How do you feel in your heart? Isn't it so, you know, so soothing, so beautiful that you can't even use words to describe, isn't it? Yeah. And because you know why? I ask God to fill us with His presence. Because I do not know any one of you, and not everyone, some of you I know, yeah, but there are needs around. Sometimes we can't even say to anyone, but God knows. So I told the Lord, I do not know your needs, but God, you know, and you will know how to come and touch every heart. Praise God, and God is here to touch us. And the last time when I preached here was maybe more than 10 years ago on Mother's Day. And I always only preach on Mother's Day. Praise God, whatever it is, I am full of gratitude. Because after so many years, it's about maybe 15 years now, Glad Tidings is still here. Amen. And Glad Tidings, the presence of the Lord is getting stronger and stronger. Amen. That shows our God is such a faithful God, that He loves His church and He will never let anyone us go. He always wants to come and help us and save us. Amen. So Glad Tidings, I want to tell you, even as we worship, continue to open your hearts to God and love God with all your hearts, because God is in the house. Every service, remember, you do not only come to attend a service, you come here to meet our Almighty God. Amen. Even today is not only a Mother's Day. Today is a special day because God in His mercy has come down. Don't take God for granted. He can always don't come. If God is not here, whatever we do is in vain. Amen. Unless the Lord built the house, whatever that we do is in vain. Praise God that, you know, after so many years and from a young mother to an older mother and now a grandmother, thank God for giving me the opportunity to share His word, and thank God that I am still not that old, still can share the word of God. I am thankful. Amen. 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 Praise God. And I can see most of our ladies, you still look the same. Sandra, you're still so beautiful. All of you are still so. So you see what is the secret, you know? The more you serve the Lord, the more you have the joy of the Lord, the more beautiful you are. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So today I want to share with you on how to trust God from the life of Jochebed, that is Moses' mother. From her life, we want to see how, you know, in the difficult times, in the trying times, she is still able to trust God. That shows God is so deep in her spirit that even though she is going through very difficult time, you know how difficult? Because her son, Moses, is under death sentence. You know why? Because Pharaoh wants to put every male Hebrew child to death. Imagine our children are facing death sentence. And sometimes the death sentence can come in many forms. Today, you know, our children are going through very difficult times. And it's as good as death sentence. Sometimes they are so lost, they just do not know where they are heading. But in this context, as mothers, let us learn, you know, from Moses' mother, no matter how trying, God is there. You know, we want to read this passage from Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. As I studied this passage, I begin to realize that actually God, the word, is not appearing in these 10 verses. But it doesn't mean that God is not working. Amen? Sometimes when you are going through difficult times, seemingly you may think that God is not there. But God is always there. Because you know why? Moses' parents see in Moses that he is not an ordinary child. And Moses' sister watch over him. And then after that, we see that Pharaoh's daughter saw Moses. These are all not coincidences. These are the hands of God that are moving. They're moving to save Moses. Let us read Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no more, she got a piper's basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. Her sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Can you see that? Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the river bank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." You see, when God helps you, you raise your children, and also you are paid. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." And Moses' mother's name was not mentioned at all. But it doesn't mean that, you know, she is not important. Later we saw that, you know, her name was put into God's hall of fame. Numbers 26, verse 59. The name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, a descendant of Levi, who was born to the Levites in Egypt. To Amram, she bore Aaron, Moses, and their sister Miriam. Hebrews 11, 23, a very powerful verse. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Let us open our hearts to the word of God, and let us say a prayer to the Lord. Lord, we thank you for your precious word. Indeed, O God, we are so honored, O Lord Jesus, to have you, Lord, kept your precious word to guide us in our life's path. Lord, once again, open our hearts to receive your word gladly into our hearts, even as we look into, O God, the life of Jochebed. Lord, it was recorded, O God, for us, Lord, with the precious lessons to learn from her and most of all from you. Help us to trust you with all our hearts. Open our hearts. Help us to focus on your word and open our hearts to receive, O God, you into our lives. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when Jochebed pregnant Moses, it was a very difficult time. So I want to, in a simple way, bring out these three important truths that we can learn from her. That firstly, it was a trying time for a mother, and yet she make it a point to trust God. So it's important that as mothers, our faith is not dependent on our husband or on the church or on anybody. We have to personally trust God in order to trust our children to God. We have to do it ourselves first. And secondly, we see that Moses' mother not only trusts, but she trusts courageously. She is not afraid, even though she's afraid, but she still trusts. Thirdly, we see that her trust is rewarded. Remember, whatever trust you put in God, God will not take you for granted. He will surely honor you. Amen. So these are the three important things that I want to bring up. Firstly, trust in God. Mom, trust in God. Exodus, just how we read, chapter 2, verse 2. And she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. Wow, not easy to hid a baby for 3 months. So 3 months, they start to smile, they start to very cute. Yeah, I still remember my children, about 3-4 months, they're very cute, they always smile. Yeah. So here we see that Jochebed, as a mother, saw her child through the eyes of God, because she does not use her own eyes to see this child. She doesn't see death sentence in this child. She sees through the eyes of God that this child is going to be rise up to be a giant for God and for the nation. Amen. So fine child, she saw in him a fine child. Fine child in different translation bring out another richer meaning. In the Message, fine child is translated as something special about him. And then the New Century Version is how wonderful the baby was. New King James, beautiful child. RSV translated as he was a goodly child. I never know there's a word goodly. So goodly child. Okay. So, Mom, I want to let you know, especially, when you're going through trying times for yourself or for the family or for your children, remember, as much as you want to use your own eyes to look at your children, ask God for grace to see your children through the eyes of God, that this child is a fine child, no matter how rebellious he is. This child is not an ordinary child. This child is a wonderful child. And this child, like what the translation, is a goodly child. Amen. Many times when our children are rebellious or whatever, we tend to, even in Chinese, always say, those days, people used to scold the children, sui jai, sui jai. No, not sui, not sui. Very good child. Yeah? So, but it's not easy. It's not easy. But the thing is, with our strength, we may not know how to see it. But with the strength of God, He can grant you the grace. in Acts chapter 7, verse 20 says, at that time, Moses was born and was exceedingly fair and was nourished in his father's house 3 months. So I believe, Jochebed and Moses' father don't only see him as a beautiful child or handsome child, but they literally saw that he was no ordinary child. So, you know, today I want to encourage all the mothers that maybe to a certain extent you already have given up your children. Maybe, you know, they have gone astray in whatever situation it is. When they're young, you know, you have all the challenges. When they're teenager, challenges lagi more. Yeah? When they're adult, also got challenges. Every stage also got challenges. But the important thing is, do we want to continue to see our children through the eyes of God? That they are no ordinary child. Because God's hands is upon our children. So we continue to trust God, no matter how difficult. It doesn't mean that you cannot see the result. God is not working. Yeah, just like what I said just now. God sees. God hears. Later on, we can see in Exodus chapter 3, God sees the Israelites going through all the difficult times. And God hears their cry. And God came down to rescue. So he can see, he can hear, he can come. Amen. So today, we are not giving up. We are not giving up. We are not there to just keep on, become so discouraged until we want to either blame God or blame this, blame that. No. God, give me the grace to see my children through the eyes of God. You know, I have gone through that many years ago when my son, I don't want to say which son, a son. So this son is, I think, is in about 14, 15 years old. Then he, you know, 14, 15, they want to be independent, you know. They are very aggressive. So one day I was telling him something, I can't remember. So he answered me back very rudely. I feel a bit hurt. Then I realized that, last time when I remember he was about 4 or 5, he always hold my skirt, you know. Everywhere I go, always stick to me. And then when I want to cross the road, I will hold his hand and he allowed me. Why suddenly now he answered me like that? Okay. The second time, he answered me again. Then this time, I'm so hurt, you know. I was so hurt, I cried. Then he saw me crying, you know. He quickly ran to me. Mommy, I'm so sorry. 14, 15. Sorry, mommy. Oh, then only I realized that actually he also going through all his changes. Then after that, I should have said, yes, okay, I forgive you. But I still come in. I go and say that, you want to say sorry, but every time you want to hurt me, I shouldn't say that I just said forgive, okay, forgive you. Yeah. So no matter how difficult, we continue. Sometimes as mothers, we also go through, as we age, you know, we also go through we have health issues, and then our children maybe is not like what we expected. And maybe they can be married. Suddenly one day they come and tell you that, you know, after marriage for 1 month, mommy, I want to get divorced. You know, last time in GT Life Care, I remember this couple came to me. So they said they want to divorce. How long you have been married? 6 months. Of course, I never show. Then I realized that, can happen. But anyway, so the important thing is, like, when we are going through all the trying times, be it your health, be it maybe financial situation, be it your relationship with your children or even relationship with your husband, in all this trying time,
We hope that you are enjoying the message so far. If you would like to know more about our church and get connected, head to our website at gladtidings.my. Thank you for listening. Let's get back to the Word.
You need to trust God. And the Word of God says in Psalm 31:14, "But I am trusting you, O Lord, saying you are my God. I choose to trust you. When I say I am trusting you," that means the psalmist decided, choose, even though he cannot see anything good coming up. I trust you. John chapter 12, verse 44. The religious leaders are fighting Jesus, going against him. But Jesus was talking to those who want to listen to him. Jesus shouted to the crowds, "If you trust me, you are trusting not only me, but also God who sent me." When we trust Jesus, we also trust the Trinity God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, when you trust me, you are trusting the Trinity God, and you have God, three in one, fighting for you. No one can beat you. Amen. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14 says, "For if we are faithful to the end," let us memorize this. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. "If we are faithful to the end," don't give up halfway. Faithful to the end. Trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed. Not trusting halfway after 20 years, you know, suka-suka, trust God. Tak suka, tak trust God. No. Trust God just like when you first believe. Firmly, just like when you first believe. I do not know what you are going through, mothers. Or I do not even know what you young people are going through. But one thing I know, our human hearts tend to stray. After some time, due to many, many reasons, sometimes our love for God can become cold. It's not the same like when we first believe. But here, the Bible says very clearly, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believe. We choose to trust Him firmly, even though things are turning difficult. We will share. When we firmly trust Him to the end, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. Wow. Amen. All that belongs to Christ, you know. You can never imagine. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. We can never comprehend what God has in store for those who love Him. Amen. So when you share in all that belongs to Jesus, you have everything. Your bank account may not be big. You have everything. Because you are so healthy, the bank account will always not moving, not decreasing, okay? Psalm 56, amen, verse 4. "I praise God for what He has promised. I trust in God. So why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me?" Yeah, young people, what can your friends do to you when God is in you and with you? When you trust in God, what can men do to you? Amen. Praise God for all His promises. So we need, as mothers, even as individuals, to really know how to trust God in good times, so that in trying times, our spirit is strong to go through it. So many times, when we cannot go through trying times, could it be because our foundation, even from the start, is weak? But in good times, let us build our spirit in God. In trying times, the spirit will be strong to go through. And we can also, you know, choose to trust God. Secondly, we see in the life of this slave mother, that she dared to trust God courageously. She trusts God courageously. We read just now, Hebrews 11:23, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months. After he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. They were not afraid. Because, like what we read just now, if I trust in God, what can mortal man do to me? Amen? It applies here, isn't it? It applies in Moses. Moses' mother knows how to apply that. If God is in me, if I trust in God, what can mortal man do to me? Not even the king. So we see here that Jochebed is not afraid of the king's edict. And because she's not afraid, she violated the king's command and hid her son. And also the most wonderful thing is that she really trusts God to take care of Moses. Because, you know, now it's full of crocodiles. So actually, she really has nowhere to turn to. When she surrendered the child will die. When she put the child in the river, also will die. But because she trusted in God, she leave Moses to the hands of God. So sometimes we need to leave our children to the hands of God. We can do that much. So don't ever think that, you know, sometimes we forget. Sometimes unconsciously, we tend to do so much, forgetting that we are just mere human. We can only do that much. But God can do very, very much than what we can imagine. Amen. And also, you can see that she dared to trust God to train Moses in God's way, even in that 3 months. I believe, you know, that she imparted that kind of faith to Moses. So when we talk about trusting God courageously, we are not talking about not having fear. Mark Twain said this, courage is resistance to fear, not absence of fear. When we say that, oh, be courageous and all that, we are not denying that we are having fear. You know, it doesn't mean that you have courage, you got no fear at all. No, you still have fear, but you know how to resist the fear. That is courage. Amen? You know how to resist fear. But you are not denying that it's fear. Definitely we are also fear because we are human. And then another person says, being afraid is not a reason not to do something. If it's the right thing, do it scared. Profound, isn't it? Do it scared. Scared. But because it's the right thing to do it. Just like, Jochebed, she has to disobey the king's order. And she also, make the piper's basket. Even though she is scared the crocodile will eat Moses, but she knows that it's the right thing to do, handed to the hands of God, and she did it. And God, in his mercy, will never let anything happen, to Moses. So talking about fear, for mothers, sometimes fear can come in two forms. The first form is anxiety. We become very anxious. I don't know about you, some of this question came into my mind before. Anxious, asking this question, do I have what it takes to raise this child? Do I have what it takes? A bit anxious, can I really raise this child? Am I capable of leading my children to trust and follow Jesus? Yeah? I know some of you are very, very strong in your faith, you can conquer the world, conquer where, and you say, okay, I can bring my children to Christ, I can let my children, follow Jesus. But come to a point sometime when your children are a bit older, they may make some wrong choices. Yeah? So, It's not about trusting in yourself. It is about really letting them, let God take over. Or can I raise them to be wise, contributing members of society? Yeah. So talking about fear come in the form of anxiety, I remember after I gave birth to my eldest daughter, that time I was only 23, not gave birth, pregnant. I was only 23 years old. Yeah. Some of these young people, you just started working, or some of you are doing your master's, you know. But I'm already pregnant with my eldest daughter. And I remember one day I was in the room. Suddenly, there was this anxiety that came, you know. Am I able to take care of this, my baby? You know, because I was also young. Do I know how to, what? Because that time, I got married. I don't even know how to cook. You know? Ayo, how to raise a child, huh? Wow, anxious, yeah? And then also, you know, sometimes fear. So sometimes mothers, you know, you check yourself if you feel a bit anxious. Could it be deep underlying there, there is a fear? Yeah? In every emotion, the secondary emotion, there is always a primary emotion. The primary emotion usually is fear. Another form the fear can come out is regrets. You know, we'll say things like, if I had to do all over again, I would. Regrets, lah, huh? I would have been more patient, lah, you know. That's why when I was young, I remember my children, one time they were telling me, so I was scolding, lah, I was angry. You don't see me like that, I scold one, huh? So then my sons, I remember, I think my two sons, I said, okay, everybody, quiet, quiet, quiet. You know why? When mommy is angry, everybody also should be angry with her, you know. When she's angry, everybody kena scolding. Actually, I'm not wrong, also I kena scolding. My sons told me that. Oh, then I begin to realize that, oh, no, no, no. You know, when I'm angry, I sold the whole house, no. But actually, only one person made me angry, lah. But all also kena. Yeah. So, you know, it's important that we have to realize that, you know, there is this fear. We are talking about, mom, you trust God courageously. Even though you are fearful, but you do the right thing, scared. Scared, but you do the right thing. Okay? I don't know. So, you know, and I remember that also the regrets. I wish I haven't done this. Again. I want to tell story, but I also look at the time. But anyway, so I remember my son, my son was only 3 years old. And then at that time, I was pursuing my master's in divinity in Penang. So usually Monday, I travel, and then Friday, I come back. Weekends, I stay with them. So that was a Monday. I had to go. And then we were staying in BCM hostel. And then we were on the second floor. So my son was looking out from the window. And then he saw me. I was already downstairs. Then he waved. He said, "Mommy, don't go. Mommy, don't go." And he cried. "Ayo, I tell you, my heart break into don't know how many million pieces. So there, I also want to go. Where? I don't want to go. Ayo. So I regret. You know, I should have said, okay, lah, I give up my studies. I just, you know, stay with my children. So then, after some years, like, you know, just not long ago, you know, I told him, I said, "John, do you know that, you know, can you remember when you were 3 years old, I left you, you know, I went to Penang, and I feel so bad, you know, that I left you." Then he said, "Oh, mommy, I can't remember already, but never mind, mommy, you have to deal with that. Don't live in that regrets." Okay, my son has grown up, praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, so it's important that I didn't say that in the first service, but I must say this. In order for us to trust God courageously, we need to build our personal altar. We need to build our personal altar. Altar doesn't mean that you hold your santoy, my santoy, This personal altar means we host the presence of God. You know, we spend time in the presence of God. And sometimes not asking for anything, but just enjoy the presence of God. Because when we build our personal altar, we also, you know, bring in the presence of God into our home. And of course, after that, I want to say also build family altars, very important. When husband and wife, children, at least once a week, you have a time together, you know, just sing one worshipful song, concentrate on Jesus, and read a passage of scripture together. No need to ask for anything. Just ask Jesus to come into the house. Amen. Because when you usher in the presence of God into your house, wonderful things will happen. Sometimes because there is no presence of God, there is so much confusion, so much fighting, and then the mother scold one, scold everyone. You know? So, but when the presence of God is there, there is peace. There is the calmness. There is the assurance that God will take care of us. Amen. And I think I better don't say this already. Oh, never mind, very fast. So we must learn to let go and let God, you know? Yeah, there are things that sometimes is just beyond our ability. And even for children. Nowadays, parents, I notice that, you know, they are more advanced, lah, huh? They learn so much about parenting. They don't do the mistake like I do, lah, scold everybody in the house, you know? But then we can become overprotective, you know? Wow, we send our children to oversea. We must go there, prepare the way, you know, stay 1 month there, cook every day for the child. And wow, you know, thank God lah that you're doing that lah. Don't stone me. You okay, but be careful, don't overprotect. Sometimes you need to let your children make the mistake. Sometimes you need to let the children suffer a bit, yeah? Then they can learn. Yes, and then the important thing is, even when your children are becoming adult, when they want to obey the call of God, don't stop them. Because if that is the will of God, the destiny for them to really raise up to be a man of God, you should be happy. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Yeah? Let your children give their lives to God, because when they give their lives to God, you have nothing to lose. But if you stop them from fulfilling God's destiny, you have everything to lose. Amen. Praise God. So nowadays, also raise up young children and youth and all that is also not easy. Let us see, you know, some of this survey that they've done in U.S., but it's also very near home. Even though it happens in U.S., we are happening here also. The 10 social issues that trouble today's teens. There is this depression, bullying, sexual activity. A slide coming up, okay? And then drug use, alcohol use, obesity, academic problems, peer pressure, social media, on-screen violence. So many issues that are coming up in our today's society. And our young people, they are facing that. So if as parents, we do not build the family altar, we do not usher in the presence of God, how can we face some of these issues that are so real? Maybe we don't experience that during our time. You know, just a few years ago, there is this young man came to me. She was telling me, Pastor, do you know that the social media, the bullying is very real? You know? And I said, truly, I don't understand. Because I belong to the other era. You know? But he said it's very real. So what I can do is only to build him up in the Lord, to know his identity in God so that he can be strong. You know? And I help him to know, to trust in God. If you trust in God, what can mortal man do to you? I shall not be afraid. Okay? So, and then in second, you know why things, you know, the situation is getting difficult is because Jesus is coming soon. And that is what, you know, is even prophesied during Timothy's time when he wrote in 2 Timothy. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. The list goes on. So it's going to be difficult because before Jesus comes, the hearts of the people are becoming wicked. Even the young people, they can be very ungrateful, disobedient to their parents. But we want to thank God that God can raise up godly parents to come and raise them up to be obedient to their parents. And this verse came to my mind, even though the evil can be widespread, and Malaysia is experiencing that now. Yeah? Everywhere is experiencing that. But that verse in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19 came to my mind. When I was a young Christian, I used to hear pastors, they all quote this verse. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes like a flood, the enemies with all this social, cyber bullying, with all this violence, with all this the image issues, with oppression, with depression, comes in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against them. It is the Spirit of God that will come even stronger. Amen. And another translation says, in the West, people will respect the name of the Lord. In the East, they will glorify Him. East or West? Yeah? We are West. We are East. The West. Everywhere, people will respect the name of the Lord. For He will come like a raging flood tide, driven by the breath of the Lord. And indeed, it happened. In February 21st. This year, just a few months ago, it happened in Asbury University in Kentucky. It happens because this group of young people, they are so hunger for God's presence. You know, in the university, they go through all kinds of pressures and difficulties, all kinds of oppression. And they were so hungry and thirsty for God. I forgot to mention just now in the first service, I must mention here. You know, when we talk about the verse in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 16, train up a child in the ways of the Lord. As I was preparing this, I came to know that, I begin to understand that actually the training has the connotation of the Hebrew people. They will chew the olive leaf, or they will pound it, and they will put it in the mouth of a baby. The purpose is the gums of the baby is to stir up the hunger and the thirst in the child, so that the child will know how to know how to hunger for food, because the child needs that, and also thirst for water. What does that mean? When we talk about training a child in the ways of the Lord, it's about, in the spiritual sense, we are to create in the child a hunger for God, a thirst for God's, for God and for His righteousness and for His kingdom. Amen. That is training. But how can we stir up that kind of hunger unless we also have the hunger? So as parents, as mothers, let us ask God that, to give us the hunger and thirst for Him, for His kingdom, for His righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. May God stir in us that hunger, the hunger. And this happened to these young people. They hunger. And then God came. Just like we read just now, He lift up a standard. even though the society can be so wicked, but God raged a flood, you know, driven by the breath of God. It's the Holy Spirit, the breath of the Holy Spirit that came. We thank God. Let us also hunger for Malaysia. It's coming. It's coming. Let us, you know, hunger and thirst, because only when God raised up this standard, only when the breath of God that is sweeping through us, through our lives, then only we can be set free. Depression, anxiety, whatever that is troubling you, whatever unforgiveness, is only through the breath of God that can set you free. Let us watch this video, you know, or this Asbury revival, how God come to these young people. And the key is all of them are young. Why? Because God knows that young people in this age are going through very, very trying time. By their own strength, they cannot overcome. It only takes the breath of God that gives them that strength to overcome the temptation, to overcome whatever the devil wants to come and steal from them. It starts from the young people. Amen. Amen. Let us watch this Asbury outpouring and see some of the testimony of the students, you know, what they have experienced. To know that, you know, God raised up a standard. We do not only look into all the wickedness. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
I walked into the chapel and saw a bunch of students worshiping together very intimately. It just, everyone was crying, hands were in the air. It was just showcasing the love of God in so many ways that I had kind of forgotten about. And I remember I was with a friend and we were standing in the doorway, and I turned to him and I said, "I don't know what they have, but whatever it is, I want this."
Is dark, and our students are hurting, and they're lonely, they're angry, they're desperate, and so they've been praying for change. And we've had a lot of great moments on our campus, great chapel services, great speakers, great intentionality, great prayer meetings. And I think after the service, on this just regular chapel day, God just started working in their hearts, and He's been working in their hearts, but they were obedient to it.
You know, when you think about how did this start? It was nothing anybody did. It was nothing Asbury did. It was nothing that Zach Meerkreeps did. It was nothing that any student did. You know, I believe that it was just a pure and a deep cry for more of God's Spirit that these students had. And look where it's gotten us. And so we have people from all over the world now.
There's been a ton of healing from church hurt and from various traumatic events. There's physical healings, there's been calls that cancer's gone, but then beyond that, something that's, like, I think extremely incredible is, I know this campus very well, it's small, we're less about, I guess, at 1,000 students, and I know exactly which people on this campus hate each other, and those are the people that I have seen praying together, singing together, hugging, crying. Like, I myself have had a list of least favorite people at this school, and I have spent the week with them, and it's been, like, totally life-changing.
For some, it is freedom for the first time, freedom from anxiety, freedom from desperation, maybe. For some, it's freedom from addiction or whatever that may be. And for others, it might be a first-time commitment or really a first-time understanding of who God truly is. I mean, for some, they're just praying for their families, that addiction would be broken in the lives of their family members. So it is however the Lord is working in their individual hearts.
God has a plan of redemption for our world, but God works in the lives of people, and He can bring healing and He can bring peace in the midst of really challenging and difficult things. He's reaching out to a lost and broken people, and He's inviting them into His presence and into His peace and into His love and community here on campus, and people just can't get enough of it.
I feel like the first couple of days, I've just felt so much joy. Like, when I'm singing, I just can't help but, like my mouth hurts, my jaw hurts. I'm just smiling ear to ear and just being filled with so much joy. And I've never really liked praying out loud in front of people, but I've just felt so, like, bold in that, like to pray for people and allowing God to use me just to speak through me to people for what they need to hear.
Amen, amen. You see, when the breath of God is moving, wonderful things happen. And God meet the students where they are. Where they are depressed, the depression was lifted. Where they are addiction, addiction was gone. Where they are. Today, mothers, you know, God will meet you where you are. What is troubling you today? God will meet you where you are. Is it your health? Is it your economic situation? Is it your financial situation? Is it your relationship with your children, relationship with your husband? God will meet you where you are. But are you willing to meet? Let him meet you. So then one of the professor mentioned that the experience of this revival is just like a long exhale. You know, that whatever their mental challenges, their uncertainty about the future, the overstress, their economic issues, you know, the students are facing, at that moment, it was like an exhale. They breathe out all this. And then there is an inner feeling of a holy peace. Amen. So there are times we need to exhale to really blow out, to really breathe out whatever that is not meant to be in your spirit. Unforgiveness, bitterness, all the frustration, anxiety, throw it out. Let the Holy Spirit infill you with His peace, with His freedom, with His strength, with His love. So even as challenging as it can be, but we know God is still in control. Amen. So we see that this Asbury, to me, I am not just excited over all the hypes, but it is more of seeing that God is doing something. There is hope. There is hope in God. And God is raising up all these young people, because He also sees in them, the young people, they have the potential to love Him. You know, I was reminded, I didn't have time to say it just now, that when God called us, you know, to go into full-time ministry, I was only in my 20s, early 20s, together with Pastor Stanley, so many of us. And God, in His mercy, come and sweep over Malaysia, raise us up. That time, I do not even know how to think whether I got food to eat or whatever. No worry, whether I got bank account, no bank account, doesn't matter. You know, what I want to do, that it was the Holy Spirit that put a fire in us. What we want to do is to get soul safe. Get soul safe, you know. And I remember I cycle to school every morning about 5 miles. When I cycle early in the morning, when I look at people, the moment I look at one human being, tears come down. Another human, another tears. Wow, I tell you, I cycle until my eyes also, I cannot see, you know, because I keep on crying. And at that time, I just started crying. I don't even understand why I keep on crying. You know? And I remember also, you know, I have a mother who loves me so much. One day I took her to Mother's Day service. And that time I was just a very young Christian. And my mother also, you know, not educated, but I thank God like the service was translated in Hokkien. I'm a Hokkien. So then my mother, after hearing the sermon, I cry, you know. Every time I go to church, the Spirit of God, I sense it so strongly. I cry. Then my mother, I remember, non-Christian, my mother so sayang me. Ayoh, why you cry? Don't cry. My mother also didn't understand what was going on, you know. But my mother saw me crying. Don't cry. You know, the Spirit of God just sweeped through Malaysia and raised us up. Now we are already grandparents. But because of the grace of God, the mercy of God, that churches are planted all over Malaysia, that today we can be here, today we can be saved. Let us be very thankful. It's because of the mercy of God that come to Malaysia. Amen. Praise God. That God will do it again. God will raise our young people again. Not to say, don't worry about the older people. The older, you know, the older people, you stand firm in the Lord, and you are there to cheer them on. Amen. Cheer our young people on, because God's breath is going to come and fill them. Thirdly, Jochebed's trust is rewarded. Like what I said just now. Trust God. Honor Him. He will surely honor you. And when He honors you, He honors you more than you can imagine. Let's look at, Moses' mother. Hebrews 11:27. By faith, now is Moses. Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. Earlier, it was a mother who was not fearful of the king's edict. Now is Moses. He persevered because he saw him. He saw God who is invisible. Amen. You know, Jochebed as a mother was rewarded because she imparted courage to her son Moses. Today, mothers or even fathers, let us ask ourselves, what are we imparted to our children? Is it courage, or is it anger, or is it, frustration, or is it unforgiveness? What are we imparted to our children? Moses' mother imparted courage to Moses, and she raised Moses to be a faithful son, and she enabled Moses to see the eternal values in life. If there's one thing we want to raise our children well, raise them to have eternity in mind. Amen. Don't raise them to see only the temporal things on earth. Make more money, more cars, more house. Okay, those are good, those are good. But let us build eternity in them. That can they hunger for God? Do they want to hunger for God? Do they want to give their lives to God? Do they really want to serve Him? Let us as parents raise our children with eternity in mind, that they belong to God and God has a perfect plan for them and God has a great destiny and only they can fulfill. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Not only that, she raised a man of faith serving God and the nation. Malaysia needs godly children to rise up, to serve this nation. And God's favor is upon Malaysia. We do not know how God is going to save the many, but God definitely has His eyes on Malaysia. And let us raise godly children to serve God and the nation. Hebrews 11:24-26, I'm going to end. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as a son of Pharaoh's daughter. He knows how to reject what is not of God. He chose to be mistreated. He decided to follow God. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He knows how to evaluate, to consider the eternal value. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Amen. When you have eternity in mind, the reward is waiting for you. Praise God. Moses' mother helped him to see far, having eternity in mind. Amen. So we see that, God rewarded Jochebed with some of the greatest achievement that Moses has achieved, that none in the Bible has done that. Moses is the most important Jewish prophet. He wrote the Torah, the laws. He was chosen by God to deliver his people. What an honor. Deliver about 4 million Israelites out of the land of bondage into the promised land. Amen. That God can help us to raise children who can deliver many who are still lost in the world into the promised land, into the plan that God has for them. Amen. And he was close with God. He was buried by God. So special. And he is the only one, Moses, recorded in the Bible that has led the millions to cross the Red Sea. Other than Moses, no one else has done that. Amen. Because her mother's trust in God was so greatly rewarded. So don't give up, mothers, don't give up. Don't let the devil tell all kinds of lies to you that your children has no hope. Always remember, in God, all our children have great hope. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let us close our eyes. Let God speak again to us. When God gave me this message, I asked God, God, why do I have to speak about trusting you? God say, this message is specially for glad tidings. Because only God knows what we need. Only God understands what you're going through. I may not know. It doesn't matter. God knows. So this message is not by coincidence. God is asking you to trust him. It's because, not because you don't know how to trust. God wants you to trust even more. If you're already trusting God, you can do even better. If you are not trusting God, God is gracious to grant you strength to trust him again. And when God says that trust him, the Holy Spirit revealed to me, God is calling us back to him. Because in these last days, things are not going to be easy. But if we do not know how to keep on draw to God, we will fall. We will become weak. God is calling us back to him. Calling us to come back. Because only in him we have security. Only in him we have the shelter. Only in him we can be strong. I would like to ask anyone among us, you are first time here. Whether you're a mother or not mother, it doesn't matter. But especially for mothers, if you are first time here and you first time hear about this message, you may not understand a lot of things, but you somehow feel something very special in your heart. This is what God is calling you. God says that, come home to him. He wants to give you life and more than life. I'm not asking you to join the church. I'm not asking you to take a religion. I'm asking you to have the relationship with God. Because when you have the relationship with God, you are close to him. You can call on him anytime. You don't have to worry. You don't know anything. It doesn't matter. In fact, it's better. When you don't know anything, that shows that you are so sincere to trust this God, to give your life to him. May I invite, if you want to ask Jesus to come into your heart, can you put up your hands to show to me so that I can lead you in a prayer? Anyone here? When you are first time, or maybe you come a few times, but you have not asked Jesus to come into your heart. Be it young, be it old, it doesn't matter. When God is calling you, just come to him. You will have everything to gain. anyone? If you have a mother or a friend, maybe you can encourage the person. Just give your life to Jesus. Open the heart, the door of your heart. Let Jesus come in. Because when He comes in, He will do wonderful things in your life. Just like many of us have experienced. Anyone? If not, I want to ask. I open to the mothers first, especially mothers. If you feel that you have grown cold, it's like what we have read just now in Hebrews, that you know your belief in the Lord is no more firm, not like when you first believe. Somehow along the way you have strayed. But don't feel condemned. Jesus loves you so much, He wants you to come back. If any one of us, you feel that you know the fire is no more there, but you want to come back to God, you want to be hunger for God once again, or you have gone astray, but now you want to come back. If you want to do that, also put up your hands. Anyone of you? Just put up your hands if you feel that you have grown cold in your walk with the Lord and you want to once again give your life to Jesus. Is there anyone? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But not to worry, if you don't do it now, you can do it afterwards. You can do it anytime. You go to any of our leaders, ask them that I want to accept Jesus, or your friends, they can help you. But remember, don't take too long, because like what I say, you have everything to gain if you have Jesus in your life. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In closing, we want to do this declaration. No matter how good as a mother or as a father, sometimes we make mistakes. And sometimes even with our walk with the Lord, we have sinned against God. So we want to repent. And then after that, we also want to rededicate our lives to ask God to help us again, to be the parents that He wants us to be. Shall we all declare together? Can I invite every one of us then? Parents especially, say it with all your heart. Rededicating our lives to God, declaring that God will raise our children in this generation, for this generation, for Malaysia. Amen. Okay. 1, 2, 3. On behalf of our children and as fathers and mothers, we stand in the gap as Job did for his children daily, to plead for your mercy and forgiveness where our sons and daughters and even ourselves have sinned and defy you inwardly, exposing ourselves to sin and unrighteousness. As parents, we plead the blood of Jesus to cleanse and purify each of our children, redeeming them from the deception of the kingdom of darkness in this world into your kingdom of wonderful light. In your word, you said, yes, captives will be taken for warriors and plunder retrieved from the fierce. I will contend with those who contend with you, and your children I will save. We thank you, Lord, you defend and contend for our cause. Save and deliver our children from the influence and deception of the kingdom of darkness. As parents, we want to rededicate ourselves to be God-loving and God-fearing mothers and fathers, and to be good stewards of the children you have entrusted us. To realign ourselves to your call upon our lives in our roles as fathers and mothers to the next generation. to nurture them to discover their gifting and talents, to build them up and not to tear them down, to encourage and release them into your perfect plan, to model to them faith, love, and perseverance in our lives, so that one generation will testify of your love and faithfulness to the next generation. When and where we fail, Lord, we thank you, Lord, by your mercy and grace. You refather our sons and daughters to walk into the destiny and call you have for them. In Jesus' name, we ask and give you thanks and praise. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in. We hope that this message has encouraged or inspired you to live a victorious life. Remember to subscribe to our Spotify channel to get our weekly updates. Have a blessed week.